This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How's everything going?
It's going well, and it's going to be going even better if you like this idea. So I know this happened a long time ago, but it has started to recirculate on social media in the last 24 hours.
Oh, God forbid.
I know. Okay. I think you're going to like this, though. So it's Thomas Downey High School doing a fake punt. And in this fake punt, they stay in the regular punt formation with the extra blockers on the backside. And the punter throws the ball, but he throws the ball underhanded. Therefore, it looks like the ball is still coming out the same way a punt would. And so the other special teams, you might not know that that ball is live in terms of I need to catch it immediately.
Yeah.
And then the other team, the punting team, caught the ball because they were all looking to get the ball because the other team didn't know it was a punt. Does this sound amazing to you?
So what direction did he throw it?
He threw it exactly like a punt would go, but he like wound up his arm and threw it underhanded.
Yeah. How far?
30 yards.
Let's see. It went about, the total punt went about 28 yards.
The fake punt.
28 yards from the line of scrimmage, not from where he kicked it, from the line of scrimmage.
And somebody on his team caught it?
Yes, he did.
I'm trying to picture it.
Oh, I see it. I see it.
I'll send you the link, Mick.
You're standing there,
absolutely.
Mickey. You're standing there. You don't really look. You don't see the punt. You're a gunner, and you're trying to you're blocking your gunner. You turn around, you look up in the air, and you're like, oh, that punt's kind of coming to us. I don't need to touch it because I'm not the returner. But then the other guy on the other side is like, no, I can catch this ball, and I can maybe pick up a first down here.
So somebody got downfield that fast an underhand pass?
They were hustling.
20 yards?
We're gonna send you this link.
All right.
And then when you report back tomorrow, I want you to be like, I understand
now
it.
I get it.
It's genius.
Now I get it.
I would like to see the Cowboys try this in a game. I don't know.
Down the hallway and pass it along, all right?
Yes, exactly. Now
that would be one of those unscripted plays McCarthy talks about, right?
I would love it, and I would just need to watch it or listen to it to be like, yes, we helped with that.
All right, make sure you send it to me.
Okay, we will. Now, I know you can take depth charts for whatever you like, take it for or leave it. Did you peruse the Cowboys' unofficial depth chart yesterday, and did anything stand out, or did it play out kind of how we thought it might?
Well, I mean, it's kind of how they've been playing,
yep.
Right? I don't see anything on there that goes, oh my. The other one that you've got to consider is the third linebacker, right? Because I think it's going to be a shared position between Leofau and DeMarvian Overshown. But other than that, no, why?
I was just curious, do you think, and I know like your options are what they are, do you think Mazi Smith is ready for this opportunity?
Well, as Micah Parsons says, he has to be.
Yeah.
Let's see it. Now, again, what are you looking for from him? Are you looking for, five tackles a game and three tackles for losses? Are you looking for him to hold down the line of scrimmage, take on double teams, and help the linebackers run free,
that
ball carrier?
That one.
And that's what I think he's done so far. I've seen it in practice. I've seen it in the Rams' scrimmages. I mean, he only played one preseason game, right?
Yeah.
That's all you got to see. I think he has improved. Now, we'll find out if it's enough or if he's getting turned in there. But I think that, and just because he's the starter, you know, doesn't mean he's going to play 45 of 60 snaps.
Sure.
I mean, there's a reason why they brought in Linville Joseph, who is a big man, by the way. And so there'll be somewhat of a rotation in there, but I think they want to see what he's got and kind of believe that he has improved. And again, we'll see. You know, this is the time to start judging. But yeah, no, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, who else was going to play that spot?
Yeah, I was just curious if they would fast track. Like, obviously, you brought up Joseph. I was just curious if they were going to fast track one of the players that they'd picked up, even if I thought it was unlikely.
But Joseph hadn't even been in training camp.
That is true.
And at 300 and, I don't know, I'm going to guess, 39 pounds, 339 maybe. I'm not sure what they're listing him at. Unless he's been out running sprints and defensive linemen aren't known to go out and run sprints to get in shape. I think you got to, have him ramp up along the way. So, and they put Denzel Daxon on the practice squad. So there really wasn't another guy there. Justin Rogers got released and then picked up.
Yeah.
Process of elimination, he's got to start. Now we'll see if he deserves it.
Mickey, last year it seemed like and for the time that Dan Quinn was here, it seemed like, hey, we're just going to overwhelm you with pass rush pretty much every down. We're gonna send guys, we're gonna try and get after you. And then at one point Dan Quinn was like, hey, all right, so we're not stopping the run. We got to scale it back just a little bit.
Well, when did he scale it back? Because in two of the last three games, they gave up, yes. Not counting. Well, I got to check on Washington, but Miami and Buffalo went for forever. And Green Bay went for 143 and three touchdowns.
Right. And that was, I think it was around something like game six or something last year. Dan Quinn was like, look, we're not pass rushing. The guys aren't going to be allowed to until they can prove that they can do this first. And that was kind of a story that was kind of going around there. And then they kind of got back into their old ways. I was kind of curious with Mike Zimmer's defense, how the pass rush is going to look. And is it going to be more like traditional third and second down type stuff is when we'll see Micah line up on the edge? Because he's your best pass rusher. How do you feel like that's going to look?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how they use Micah, right?
Yeah.
Because things that we've basically seen in practice for the last couple weeks, he's kind of been mostly at defensive end. Did they list him? I didn't even look to see. You guys look at that stuff better than I do.
Yeah,
he's still listed as a starting defensive end.
Yeah, they did.
And that's kind of the way they've been playing it with Nealon coming in with the second wave. I don't know about the pass rush or playing the run, but. What game was Arizona last year?
It was like early in the season. Yeah.
That was when they ran for 200 and something.
It was brutal.
So I think that they will use pressure a little bit more from, blitzing linebackers or maybe blitzing a safety or, a corner off the edge or something like that. But I think that. When you see a team line up with two tight ends, I think you'll see the Cowboys line up with three linebackers. Now, who the linebacker is and where they got Micah, it yet to be seen. But I think the first priority is stopping the run and then kind of rely on your defensive ends to create a pass rush. But again, I think they're going to play more of a true matchup. So I don't know that answers your question. If teams are out there with three wide receivers, well, they're going to be a nickel. And so now, are you blitzing a linebacker or can your defensive ends get home? And, don't sell DeMarcus Lawrence short either, by the way.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see him, look revitalized.
Well, I mean, revitalized the Pro Bowler, what, was it 2 years ago, last year? I mean, somebody's noticed that he plays the run and plays it well, and I think that's meaningful. So
yes, he absolutely does. The sack numbers,
the sack numbers haven't been huge over the last couple years, but he's been a pretty valuable player and a guy that they can move inside. Now they just got to see who they got to, other than Micah Parsons, to put pressure on opposing quarterbacks. They lost their other two guys that were rotating in there, Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler. And Sam Williams, which still hurts. We forget about it because they lost him so early in training camp, but that one really hurts this defense, not to mention Deron Bland not being there.
If you're Stefanski, are you trying to find a way to match up Amari Cooper on Kalen Carson as often as you can until Carson proves otherwise?
Well, would you consider Trayvon Diggs matching up with Amari Cooper?
If I'm Zimmer, that's what I'm trying to figure out a way to keep that as a situation. I want to, like, I might even say, hey, follow him around.
Well, I think I think he's capable of it, right?
Mm.
Now again, we're talking about a guy that's going to play his first game since September 17th.
Right. Oh yeah. Good point. Good point.
Right. So
I'm just assuming that Diggs is going to be Diggs. I'm just
right.
Giving
exactly.
That assumption. Yeah.
But if I'm going to play my percentages, I'd rather see him coming off an ACL, trying to match up with Amari Cooper wherever Cooper goes. Although I guess if they put him in the slot, that would be a different story. But again, I'd do that than a raw rookie, Kalen Carson, who has played well so far. But this is a different story, right? And as he said, just got to kind of get used to playing before more people and, against bigger, men, not guys in college, but is still playing football. So at least he's got the right attitude. Now we'll see how much he can form. But it's not just stopping Amari. Judy's pretty darn good. The tight end's pretty darn good. So it's more than just trying to stop Amari. But I just think that they've got to consider letting Diggs go wherever number two is.
All right, great.
Does that sound – that's, right?
Yeah.
And, it's the same thing where, when we talk about Guyton having to go up a Myles Garrett. Well, put a tight end over there. Don't leave that kid hung out to dry as a rookie in his first start.
Send Zeke to Chip.
Well, or the fullback, or put two tight ends over there.
Heck yeah. Save the guy if you have to.
Right. Well, just help him out, because it is a chore. And this is a different speed of the game than he's seen so far. So I think those two things the Cowboys got to consider going into this game. Now, what do you think Cleveland does with Micah Parsons?
Tries to figure any way out to stop him.
Right?
Send an extra tight
end. And they're
going
to play a backup left tackle.
Good.
So they've got their problems, too, to have to deal with.
Yeah.
And I understand that they're the reigning number one offense in the league. Well, who is the reigning number one scoring team in the league?
Cowboys.
The Cowboys,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So I bet in Cleveland they're probably asking those questions, too, right?
Good. As I want them. I want them and Derek Holland to experience a whole lot of sadness this on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Not the whole weekend, just Sunday.
Just Sunday,
yeah.
Right.
Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
Absolutely. I'll be here. See you guys.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105.3 The Fan. We need to make sure we send him that fake punt as well. Coming up next, supposedly we might hear from Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy. But more importantly, AM on the FM.
We're going to hear why Derek Lively is the best of all time next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We might hear from Mike McCarthy in this segment, but what we will definitely hear is AM on the FM.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet. Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Kind of scared to leave Jared in that intro after yesterday, not going to lie. Thought about running that again here, but I'm going to avoid the phone call because I'm in control back here from 10 to 2. That's kind of scary, but it's time for AM on the FM, and a tease that we're going to hear from Derek Lively. He was on Theo Pinson's podcast, which I never thought I would say that in my life.
Wow.
But it is quite entertaining. They kind of revisited one of my favorite series that I've ever watched as a Mavericks fan, which was the Western Conference Finals. Partly biased because I was there for a game, but also just because it was really, really fun and really, really good basketball from the Dallas Mavericks. We're going to get to that here in just a second. But, you know, we always start with a question of the day, and the question of the day today can be answered on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys text line 877-881-1053, Twitch and YouTube as well. I want to know, what is the last thing that you got an absolute steal of a deal on that you've just been so proud of? Because I don't know if you're like me, but there are certain things that I just get an incredible opportunity or chance, or maybe just like a 75% off blowout sale kind of thing, and I got to show it off after. You got to show the homies. You got to say, look, I got this for dirt cheap, or hey, I found this and it's really rare and nobody wanted it kind of thing.
You got to give me the opportunity to say this. The last four cars I bought at Platinum Chevy, all steals of a deal.
I like Alec. That. Paying the bills. There we go.
Ching.
Mine were easily when I bought over $1,000 worth of Evan Carter cards before the season started because he was going to have a great rookie year.
I don't feel like that's the best steal.
They're worth at least $100 right now.
It happens.
Hold on, $100 like total?
Yeah.
I would say say the cards have probably lost 75% of their value.
Why? Because he hasn't played?
Yeah, and he batted.
See, the value should have stayed the same if he hasn't played, because, you know.
Well, he played.
Oh, yeah, he did play and it went down for a little bit.
I think
bit,
he's going to have a nice year next year, but I don't know why I decided to bring that up. I just can think of right now the money I've lost. But, you know, it happens. It's just money.
It'll come back.
I remember.
Just inflation.
I remember going into the liquor store one day.
Ooh.
And I mean, it happens. And I found
some,
but no, I didn't steal anything.
Steal of a deal.
I'm not Kevin.
Mm. What?
He went to jail.
Four cars
for stealing.
So you're telling me?
Yeah, I am telling you. Kevin was a thief, or was a thief.
Thank you.
In a past life.
Currently,
not a thief.
Undecided.
Oh gosh.
There was Buffalo Trace was like $15 for a bottle.
Ooh.
And that is a steal of a deal. And so I bought like 10 of them. I was like, this is something I just can't pass up. Gave away a bunch of them too. I was like, I'm giving these away as presents. It was awesome. It was best deal ever. And that's one of those moments, Kevin, where Adrian's like, how much did you spend on liquor? And I was like, but it was discounted like 70%. So and okay. She was like, but how much did you spend? And I was like, don't worry about that.
See, that's interesting because my steal of a deal went to something that I didn't really want to buy, but I thought my wife would really like it. She wanted these fancy sheets that were at, I don't know, some B&B that we stayed in on a vacation. And she was like, these are the most comfortable sheets, don't you think? And I was like, I don't know. They feel the same as our sheets at home. She's like, you're crazy.
You're like, you can't feel the thread.
It's like vanilla ice cream, too.
Yes, exactly. So she really wanted these sheets. So I bought her the fancy sheets, and they're expensive. And when I was looking at it, I was like, that is so much for sheets. And then it's like the website could sense that I was ready to walk away. And the little pop-up came up. And it's like, hey, would you like 20% off your first purchase? And I was like, all right. Fancy sheet place whose name I forgot. Deal.
Wow, it was Ben.
Kohl's.
Ben Sheets.
No, it's not Kohl's. Kohl's, never mind.
Ben Sheets, man. 2000 U.S. Olympian. Pitch for the Milwaukee Brewers. Ben Sheets. I know who he's talking about.
Yeah. There's a Sheets that plays for the White Sox now, too, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Big Sheets.
Sounds like Mike doesn't give a sheet.
I think he's, well, yeah, drop that. I think he's a left-handed hitter, right?
I think, yes. Yeah,
don't ask
follow-up questions?
I think so. I can see him. I just can't think of his first name.
Like, in your mind?
Still Ben Sheets, yeah, to be honest, Mike.
I can see, like, he's a heavier guy who's... I mean, look, they've won 31 games.
Gavin Sheets.
Gavin Sheets.
Yeah, baseball first baseman.
You know what? I'm sorry, Alec. I don't know if this is allowed. I'm going to ask permission since he brought up the White Sox. Can you play cut number 4? Here's a random White Sox highlight for you since you brought it up.
Yeah, and the truth is, if you have great stuff, you can challenge over the white part of the plate a little bit more and let your stuff just play. If you don't, you better figure out.
Oh, no! Oh, my goodness. The White Sox have just gone full White Sox.
I don't know why you, I don't know why you played that, though, Kevin. That was Gavin Sheets was not involved in that play.
Yeah. I know, but it was still three people running into each other.
Now, look. Jose Leclerc might have had a really bad balk last night, which it really didn't matter. The guys were going to be standing on the base by the time the ball got to home plate if he pitched the ball. Is I'm watching the Orioles and the White Sox play the other day, and I'm drawing a blank. It was a lefty on the mound. He had replaced Flexen. He is a reliever. First and second, nobody out, and he's pitching to Jackson Holliday. Jackson Holliday squares around a bunt, misses it, strike one. Jackson Holliday squares around a bunt, fouls it off, strike two. Jackson Holliday then hits a one-hopper back to the pitcher. The pitcher forgot there was anybody on base. He's going to throw it to first. Then he realizes, oh my gosh, I forgot. As this guy was trying to sacrifice bunt the last two pitches to move the runners to second and third, there are runners on first and second. Let me now spin the wrong way and see if I can still throw the ball to second. Threw the ball away, and then the bases were loaded. And I'm like, at what point did you forget there were, I mean, obviously when the ball was hit back to him, but like how White Sox is that?
Yeah.
Is that? The dude was sacrificing the guys over. You knew that they were trying to sacrifice the runners from first and second to second and third. He did not accomplish it. So now you're going for a strikeout or a ground ball double play. You get the ground ball double play. In fact, you got it so good, it's just hit right back to you. And then you're like, are there runners on base?
I don't know.
Let's just get hammered here.
That is Soxy.
Oh.
This is a new question of the day. Corey, I'm not going to acknowledge that. Nope. New question of the day for another day is, what was your most recent White Sox moment you suffered? It feels like that happens way too many times to that team, because watching those games against the Rangers in Chicago, what was it, a week ago now? It felt like every game there was at least one moment where all the outfielders and the second baseman almost collided with each other. It feels like that happens every single game with them. It's incredible.
My most recent White Sox moment was I missed the turnoff to get to my house. I don't know.
You live in your house.
I don't know where my head was, but I was like, oh, crap. That was
how many times are you on autopilot, though, and
yes,
you start driving to work, and you're like, I'm not going to work. What am I doing?
That never happens to me. I know where I'm going. I get in the car, and I know where I'm going. Never drive to work on accident.
I was supposed to be going. I just spaced out at that key moment to make the turn.
I will say, when Adrian was pregnant, she did that. She was on the phone behind me. I exited. She kept going. I said, where are you going right now? And she goes, oh, I just missed my exit. That's pregnancy brain, Kevin. That happens, all right? You're not pregnant from what I know.
I can see it.
Okay, well, from the Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line, some of the best deals you've gotten that you have to brag about. I love this one because my dad is the exact same way with this. 40 packs of AA batteries were on sale for Black Friday at $6 a pack. Had them for years.
That's what I'm talking about. I always need batteries.
Yes.
Do batteries ever go bad if you don't use them?
I don't think so.
No, those are batteries with a D.
Well, I think my time is getting cut short here, boys, because I do hear the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy.
That's a walk-off, right, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So I think that means it's time to go to the podium.
This is where they ask no questions until he walks
off
the podium.
Okay, Clarence Hill, All City, Dallas. I don't know how much you put stock into the great depth chart that the PR staff puts out that they do before every game, and I don't know if it's different from preseason or whatever else. Zeke is listed at RB1. Can you just talk about, and Maurice Lauf was listed ahead of Overshawn at linebacker. I don't know if that's based on confirmations from you or what, but can you just talk about those decisions?
Oh, definitely. I approved it. So I don't know how much energy Tad put into it. But, no, it's – hey, let's be honest. You don't just play with 11 on offense or defense. So, yeah, I mean, there's – usually, you know, close to 14 guys you would consider starters. You know, even this thing even goes further than the depth chart, because, you know, when you want to announce an offense or announce a defense, and, you know, you can't, it's you know, teams I've been a part of, you never just announce 11 guys, you know, so I think it's a product of that. So it'll take more than one running back to, you know, this is not the way we want to play. I don't want to get into rotation. I mean, right. We can talk more about this, you know, next week, but, you know, those guys will all play.
And what do you see from Maurice? I mean, just a rookie, just to be, I mean, there's so much talk about Overshawn, but for him to be at this point and be announced with the starters.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just a reflection of what he's done since he's been here. You know, he's been available. He's done a really nice job, particularly, you know, not only just on defense, but on special teams. So, yeah, I think Maurice has had a very good camp, you know, very mature. I think when we talked about the positions, because so much of it, you know, so much of having a new defense, how many positions you're going to train is all part of it, too. So just training him at Sam and trying to get the other reps distributed, too. So, but no, he's earned that spot on the depth chart.
Mike, Todd Archer with ESPN. With that, all players have to be able to compartmentalize things and focus on things in front of them. How good is it, Dak, at that, especially when you're considering all the contract talk that surrounds him at the moment going into this season?
I think he does an excellent job of it. I think he's got a tremendous support system. Just left him and from the quarterback and center meeting. And, yeah, he's all football. He's dialed in, and he's always been that way. So I think he does an excellent job of that.
How has CD done with, as it's been ramped up, as he's gone along, and do you do more than Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah, definitely. There's a number of guys that worked out on their own Sunday. So, you calculate that with what we did Monday. Yesterday was an off day. So, yeah, we're watching the reps, and we're building up to Sunday.
Saad Youssef, The Athletic. Mike, how have you seen Brock Hoffman handle the last 3-4 weeks, and even beyond that, just his relationship with Cooper and getting him prepared and all that kind of stuff?
I mean, Brock's a stud all the way through. He's the same guy every single day. I mean, he's in here on his off day, getting some special teams work and just the little things. I can't say enough about, his attitude, his work ethic, his professionalism. But yeah, Brock has just kept it, full steam ahead, and he's definitely done an excellent job of helping Cooper.
And we know this from John Fossil's vantage point, but for you, how valuable is C.J. Goodwin, what he brings to the special teams unit and his role on the team?
I mean, C.J. is extremely valuable. I think. I know just in my time here, having a chance to compete against him, prior to coming here in 2020, CJ doesn't age. He's just a remarkable athlete, tremendous football player. And not only is he important in the special teams room, but he's a very important member of our locker room.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. Last year on the defensive line, you had a little bit of a rotation. How much will that stay in Zim's scheme, or will you just stick with what you got and then have the vets come in occasionally?
Well, I just think like anything, you get into game plans, you have personnel, substitution, situational emphasis, that part won't change. Exactly the numbers, when we get to the end of the week, we'll have projected play time. Usually do that Saturday morning, once again, let the full week of work happen, make sure everybody's trained and ready to go. And hopefully it doesn't ever happen, but there's sometimes things happen between Saturday and the day of the game.
How big of a jump did Mozzie take this summer in training camp and the whole day as you?
Yeah, I think really, when I look at Mozzie throughout the off-season program, he did a good job with the football part of it, but he was in a pure focus of rehab. But came back where he needed to be in training camp. I thought he did a nice job with the weight, coming back in a nice path there. I just think once we got going in the padded work, he's very, very comfortable with what we're asking him to do. I think he's gearing up, he's ready to go.
Garrett Podell, CBS Sports. Mike, facing Myles Garrett this week, what is the specific challenge of somebody like him, and how much does having Micah Parsons help you simulate or prepare for that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I had a conversation with Micah early in training camp, and you know, just the work that he was going to have against Tyler, and it's you know, it benefits both ways because you know, obviously, Michael will be playing against you know some tackles this year to Tyler's body type. So, and that's the whole you know component of iron sharpens iron, and so that part's been good. But Miles is a tremendous player. He's been doing it, you know, quite some time. Just his. You know, he just has it all. You know, he has the physical gifts. He has the motor, the know-how. They do a really good job moving him around. He's not a stationary target. So the different looks, you know, and the things they do to him, the things they do away from him. So that'll be a big challenge Sunday.
Philosophically, do you approach like a star edge rusher like that as someone you like have to take out and always follow all throughout the game? Or is it just another defensive lineman?
Tell you what, I'm really appreciating the excitement for the game. I'm getting personnel substitution questions, I can scheme questions, and so boy, let's kick that thing off and see what the hell is happening. I mean, we got to play. That's why we play the game, right? So.
Aaron.
Mike Aaron, CatchMissLoveStarLive.com. Some coaches seem like they like to use past mistakes as like motivation, and some coaches would rather people bury it. Now that you're into the regular season, what's your take on that in regards to how the season ended last year?
I'm a believer in using all experiences. I think that's you know that's part of education in life. The power of knowledge. You know, you get that from the experiences that you go through and the experience others share with you. So, and it doesn't. You don't draw a line between the pro and the con. So, I've always felt that, you know, when you have things that are good, you're trying to teach in a certain cut up or a scheme or a situation that's in there, and the things that are not so good, obviously, you got to put them in there too.
There you go. Mike McCarthy informing us that knowledge is, in fact, power right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time.
I just want to go to that, and I want to stick a mic in his face. When they walk off, as everybody asks random soft questions, and then for the 20 minutes when they ask their real questions, we record it and put it on the air.
I would enjoy that as well. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Do you believe in these two wide receivers and Joe Henry? Next, right here on The Fan.
Play action pass. As time throws to the left sideline, complete to Diggs, trying to spin away from the tacklers, and he does! 35-30, 25-20, headed to the end zone! Touchdown, Stephon Diggs!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go!
Gridiron Gravy, of course, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. Now, let's start with Stephon Diggs, because Stephon Diggs had a lot of things to say in the last day or two. First of all, he threw out none of those teams, because he was asked, why do teams keep getting rid of you? And he said, none of those teams wanted to get rid of me. Things had to shake because I kind of wanted them to shake. So first of all, I love that quote. Also, for all the critics he has, he said...
It's a really good quote. They had to shake because I wanted them to
exactly.
shake.
Exactly. He said, I didn't forget how to effing play football. So we'll start with this. Do you believe in Stephon Diggs? Or do you think his prime is over and he could still be solid?
Oh, okay. Because I was like, oh, I've seen him. I believe that he's like a person and everything. He has a brother on the Cowboys and everything. Like, let's not pretend he's not alive.
Yes, he is alive. Confirmed.
I still think he's good, but he's not as good. He's past his prime.
Okay.
So I do not think he used to be, Corey, considered a top five receiver.
Yes.
I don't think he's considered a top five receiver anymore, but he's not like far outside the top 10 or right around 10th. So he's not done, but he's declining.
I'm very curious as to why he kind of got limited in the offense for Buffalo last year.
Yeah.
Was it because of decline? Or was it because of attitude? Was there, you know, what was the meaning for that? And Houston, who has good receivers, was very happy to take him on because they understand that he's a talent to go along with their already talented quarterback. So I do believe he can have just as good of a year as he had last year. But I'm with Mike. I don't think he's a top five guy right now anymore. But I really do like that quote, that line of, look, man, it moved because I wanted it to move.
Okay. Do you like that quote better or this quote better? Out of the whole NFL, I want to have the most receiving yards and touchdowns. That was from Jameson Williams. He's going into his third year, the former first-round pick, in case you needed a reminder. He had one reception in six games his rookie year. And then last year, he had 24 catches for 354 yards. Do you believe that Jameson Williams can have the most receiving yards and touchdowns?
He only has to be five times better.
Yeah, that's...
No problem.
On Detroit?
Yeah.
That's going to be tough with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Well, hold on. You didn't hear all the rest of the information.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
From year one to year two, he caught 24 times as many passes and had nine times as many yards.
And he only has to be five times better this year.
Yeah. So if you continue at that pace, he's a lock.
125 catches for like 1,700 yards.
Yeah. That's a low end.
I'm not even sure he's still, I'm not sure if that gets it done in this NFL.
Kevin, the answer is no. Okay. Because, again, you got A, Sam Laporta on that offense. B, you have a running game that they really like.
True.
And C, they have Amon-Ra St. Brown, who they just paid lots of money to in the offseason. So, I'm sorry. Like, that's just not going to, that's not going to happen. It'd be cool, I guess.
You were asking yesterday about how many quarterbacks are named captains. Now, I thought this was an interesting note to go along with that. Bo Nix has been named a captain for the Broncos. He's the first Broncos rookie to be named captain since 1967.
The first Broncos rookie to be? You know, yes. Who that was, Mike?
He's going to say Bronco Nagurski, I feel like.
No, I was thinking of the redheaded guy. It's not Mitch Moreland.
Alec?
Keith? What was the orange crush dude who used to be like a good defensive player for them? Redheaded guy.
Ken Mecklenburg?
Yeah, Carl Mecklenburg.
Carl Mecklenburg.
Yeah, Carl Mecklenburg. He might have played 40 years in the NFL.
Hold on.
There wasn't even a Denver Bronco in the 60s, was there?
What did you just say? Yes, there was a Broncos in the 60s.
What year were they established?
Can I ask you a question?
Weren't they the Dallas Texans?
I thought that was the Chiefs.
That's right.
You said he's the first rookie to start at quarterback for the Broncos?
No, the first rookie to be named captain.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. Because Elway was the...
Yes.
Gotcha. No. All right.
First rookie to be named captain.
That's pretty cool.
Since Floyd Little, the Hall of Fame running back.
Oh, Little.
Yeah.
He thinks he's been reincarnated on the Panthers.
Because of Bryce Young. Because of Spuds McKenzie Webb over there.
Let's go. Let's go with a couple of contract updates for you. Patrick Surtain has received a four-year, $96 million guarantee with the Broncos with $77.5 million in guaranteed money. So let me say that a better way than when I just said it. He got a four-year, $96 million contract with $77.5 million guaranteed. There we go.
Didn't Diggs get $100 million last year? Was that part of like his extension? I saw that he's the highest paid cornerback in NFL history.
Because it goes off of the per year.
And I'm always trying to figure out exactly how that lands. You know, like, okay, which one is the most important part? Because I was always told guaranteed money is the most important.
Right. Right.
So I'm always trying to figure that out. But yeah, man, he's one of the elite cornerbacks in the NFL. He deserves it. Could have been a Cowboy, you know? That was somebody they wanted.
There's a song.
Yeah. No, well, that shoulda, but I appreciate that, Mike. He's dead, by the way.
I realized that.
Who?
Toby Keith. He loved that bar.
Kyle Pitts is apparently injured again. Raheem Morris said that he tweaked his hamstring a couple weeks ago. This is the part that is amazing.
Jerry Rice never got hurt.
Well, Raheem Morris said he tweaked his hamstring a couple weeks ago and it hasn't affected him much today, but he'll be limited in the last couple weeks, but he'll be limited again today.
Jerry Rice did not get hurt.
Ever?
Until 1997?
Oh, wow.
Was 1997 a strike season?
No.
Okay. Then 1997, because that was the first time that he didn't play at least 16 games.
1997 was the year the Cowboys quit. At 6-5, they went to Green Bay and lost by 7 million points. And then they're like, screw this season. Let's just lose out. And then they got the 9th overall pick or 8th overall pick and took Greg Ellis, who ended up being a solid player.
He only started one game that year for Jerry Rice, by the way.
Davis Mills back on a one-year, $5 million deal with the Texans. Linebacker Devin White will not be traveling to Brazil with the Eagles, so obviously he will be ruled out of that game. And then the 17-year-old who shot Ricky Pearsall, or allegedly, is being charged with attempted murder. I know there was some discussion about, hey, I wonder if it will be under, you know, juvenile discretion in terms of punishment and everything like that, but multiple charges or multiple reports are saying he is being charged with attempted murder. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, besides Patrick Mahomes, which QB would you want right now to start your NFL franchise? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.